Welcome to the Catch Up. Great Monday show. I really enjoyed awkward celebrity encounters after you ran into Cam Smith at the airport, Marto.
These blokes, Harry and Oprah, everyone's had them.
Oh, yeah. Very awkward stuff. We opened up a really interesting can of worms today, Moon Man.
Married men cannot have female friends, and that is that.
We just proved that
his wife doesn't trust him, does she?
Yeah, pretty much. It's just a Moon thing, but, you know, glad you tried to test it with
she
the general public.
She trusts me.
You are not allowed to talk to Brandy, Crystal, or Jazzy, okay?
I tell you who I'm not allowed to talk to, Annie.
Annie who?
Who's Annie?
Annie's
Annie?
Naughty.
Who's Annie?
Naughty. Naughty Annie.
Who's Naughty Annie?
I don't want to ask him. I don't want to know who Annie is.
Mine were just stripper names. Yours sounds fair dinkum.
And Trevor Long, a bit of tech talk with him. The Samsung new phone is out. Should you ditch your iPhone for it? He'll explain. That's it. Enjoy the... Well, there's other stuff, but enjoy the catch up. You can find it for yourself.
Hey, I need a ruling from you guys. Saturday morning. Oh, you know how I went to Melbourne on Friday afternoon for the Reds game. Yep. Very disappointing night. Anyway, hopped off the plane and I was walking through the terminal there at... in Brizzy, we're talking to a bloke. He wanted to talk to me about the Reds and how disappointing that a bloke sent off, la la la. We're just talking away and I wasn't focused. And then all of a sudden, what was on Friday night in Brisbane? The JT.
Testimonial.
Yeah, testimonial.
Testimonial match. They're walking the other way was one of my favourite people in the whole wide world. I've never met him, but I've spoken to him on the radio, Cameron Smith.
And?
Coming the other way. And I saw him late and he was with his wife and three kids, and he was talking to his son, had his arm around his son.
So you decided to leave him alone?
I didn't have time because I just saw him in a public place. I wasn't expecting to see him. I just pointed at him and yelled out, Cam Smith!
Oh, no.
That's all I did.
No.
Uncool.
And then?
Well, and then he just went, gay, and we kept on going. We were walking past each other and I said to the guy I was talking to, who I didn't know either, we were just, we were in a new relationship ourselves, the guy I was talking to. I said, that wasn't cool, was it? He said, not really.
No, it's not. You're that guy, that bogan guy that just sees someone and goes, hey, Marto!
Yeah, or yeah,
you get those, don't you?
I get that sometimes, but
and
I shouldn't
have done
that.
What do you think about those guys?
Well, they're wankers.
Well, except though, hang on. Just think about the one person that you most admire on the planet, someone that you are never going to expect.
Have you ever done it?
Yes, I have. I've done it twice. Once with Oprah Winfrey and once with Prince William. Oh. And both times I was actually supposed to be working and I was trying to get an interview when I wasn't actually supposed to, but I had my record stick and I was chasing Oprah. She was in Melbourne. She was doing a meet and greet with a whole pile of people when she came out for that concert gigs.
Yeah, I can vaguely remember.
Right, and I was backstage and I'd managed to wiggle my way in completely unofficially and I had a record stick and I was literally chasing her round as she's doing the meet and greets to the point where she then turned to me and said, you really want to talk to me, don't you? Now, that would be the moment that at any of the questions that I had been rehearsing for the last 400 years to be able to talk to Oprah. Instead, I just went...
I know, isn't it? Wow, that's great.
Wow.
So she turned around to you and said, you really want to talk to me, don't you?
Yeah, and I should have gone, yes, Oprah, can I just ask you this? Yeah. And instead,
what's the secret to your diet? And you can never stay on them.
Oprah doesn't sound like that.
See, that's what...
that is not Oprah.
Sorry, that was... Did Oprah turn around to you and go, I'm too old for this shit.
Oprah is not Danny Glover.
That is your only... Danny Glover is your only go-to dark-skinned American voice. You've got to work on that, mate.
Anyway...
You get a question.
I didn't have any questions.
I actually met Prince Harry. I was doing a thing for the ABC, and it was the 100 years of the Australian Navy.
Yeah.
And Prince Harry was, you know, doing the walk past. They said, go down and see if you get a vox pop. And I was like, yeah, okay. Bloody, you know, royals.
Yeah,
anyway, he comes around and there's this swell in the crowd. You can feel people surging and then the screaming, and I am screaming out, Harry! 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 And he comes over. I'm holding a microphone. He goes, I tell you what, I really like your tie. I went, do you? And then he was gone. I was like, oh my God.
Listen, we are hard-nosed professionals who are in this game and we all get, what do you call it? Awestruck.
They're intensely awkward celebrity encounters. Mm-hmm. Please.
Brendan.
Yeah.
Alison Langdon.
I couldn't talk to Alison Lees on the other day on Channel 9.
Oh, event. Really?
Although once when I was a teenager, I when The Great Outdoors were on, Shelley Craft was at South Mole Island at the same time I was.
How'd you go?
I tried to get in the back of every shot and I could I could see her telling the cameraman just like pan away from that young boy that's been following me around. Boneheader.
They will never ever know that they had any sort of encounter with us at all ever. And yet for us, you hold on to it forevermore. Casey of Bellmere, what happened?
Oh, morning, guys. I was working at the airport and I had this gentleman come through and I recognised him and I said, oh, how you going? He's like, yeah, good. I said, oh, congratulations on getting Australian of the Year last night. And he looked at me and he said, thanks, but that was Lee Kernaghan. And I was actually talking to Troy Cassidaly.
Nice. Classy.
Both country singers. Kind of get it.
I was so embarrassed. I wanted to shrink.
All of you country and western singers look the same to me.
Thanks, Casey. Damien of Margate. Who was it? What happened?
Damien here from Margate. How are you going, guys?
Yeah, we said that hello. But who was the celebrity?
Michael Jackson was my celebrity encounter.
Oh my God.
Oh, wow. What happened?
So I was a glassy back at the Rendezvous Hotel in Perth back in the day. And there's a front bar and a back club. And he was doing a children's charity event in the back club. And we got a peek through the door at a glimpse at him. And I thought I'd take the bin down to the loading bay to get dumped early. And I was coming back with it. And this big muscly guy turned the corner and Michael Jackson was behind him. And
what did you do?
He asked me how I was going and I squeezed
how
out.
How you going?
Hello? Yeah, something like that. And so I had an opportunity to possibly ask a few questions, all those sorts of things. Yeah. And that was it.
If you had that opportunity to ask a question again, what would you ask, Damien?
I actually have no idea.
Michael, how did the kids' charity lunch go? You're very good with kids.
Well, it was actually a nighttime gig, but yeah, we were.
Okay.
That's the way I like to do kids' charities, always late at night.
Stop it. He's dead.
Okay, here's a fair dinkum one. Who was it?
Lara of Albany Creek. Who was it?
Hi, it was Craig Lowndes, and I was filling up at our local BP at Albany Creek, and he was in the line in front of me.
What?
And I was so excited. He's my favourite racing car driver.
Yeah.
And all these questions running through my mind. Yeah. And all I could come out with was, hi, Craig. And he just went, hi.
What you should have done, Lara, was just run over to his car and just gone, vroom, 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 go! Go, Lara! Parliament resumes this week, and today is the party room meeting for the National Party to vote in a new leader and out an old one. And, of course, Malcolm is on his way back to Australia, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So Matthias's period as Deputy PM.
So what do they have to do? Will they give him any paperwork that he signed off on while Malcolm was away, or report on what the comings and goings?
You know, the caretaker deputy prime ministership has been a bit of a mystery, but we have got access to the answering machine at the lodge. So let's listen to a little conversation between Malcolm and Matthias to find out more.
Good morning, Matthias. It's Malcolm speaking. I'm now on my way back to Australia on RAAF1, and it's not all it's cracked up to be, I can tell you. They have a cafeteria on board where you have to line up with a tray and pay at the end. There's a woman on a cash register wearing a hairnet who asks you whether you'd like to keep your tea bag in or out. So, anyway, how are you doing, Matthias?
Well, Malcolm, I really enjoyed being Deputy Prime Minister on Friday. Barnaby resigned, as you know, so some of the Liberals came over for a fondue party and saw if he got some melted cheese on the carpet at the lodge.
Well, that's no good, Matthias. What else has been happening?
Then on Saturday, we had a bit of an orgy, and yep, you guessed it, we got some melted cheese on the carpet again.
Well, Matthias, FFS, what else have you been doing?
Well, I was at home alone on Sunday and found out that the hometown I'm from, Eupen in Belgium, is thinking of having a holiday to celebrate my achievements, and I got excited and...
Oh, don't tell me you spilled some melted cheese on the carpet.
You got it. Anyway, I think we're going to have to replace the carpet.
Thanks, Matthias. You've done a terrific job. You're a great guy and a good constituent. Bye now.
It's a big breakfast on Triple M.
Now, Saturday, of course, was a big pub day for a lot of blokes in Brisbane. So they go down and get with their mates.
It was wet.
There's nothing else to do.
No kids' sport, no nothing.
Of course, men go down and hang out with their male mates, because my contention is that men aren't allowed to have female friends. I certainly aren't. When I was first going out with Lou, I had a lot of female friends, you know, through drama school and different jobs that I'd done. And I've always had good female mates. And the old thing is, Harry met Sally conundrum, can a man have a female friend without eventually bedding her? And I think that that is probably part of the problem. So when we started going out seriously, Lou said, listen, I'm not comfortable with you seeing some of your female friends.
Can I check a fact here?
Check a factoid.
Yeah.
And this is the fact that everyone's going to ask.
Had you messed around with any of them?
All of them. And so, but the thing is,
because you were single in between for a fair few years, weren't you?
But that had, I'd spent some single years, a couple of relationships that had gone, you know, maybe 3 months here and there, but definitely single for a while. But I reckon that the fact that I had slept with them kind of helped that situation to say, well, that curiosity is out of the way. Oh, that yeah, potential is taken care of.
That's in your mind. So, isn't that in his mind?
As I hear you keep digging yourself deeper and deeper into this hole, let me just ask you this, because all of that to one side, and I think that is, you know, I can understand that you have had that past history, but my question to you based on what you've just said is, can you be trusted?
Now, trust is an interesting word.
Okay, that
Robin
means
Bailey.
No.
Now, I can be trusted. I can be trusted that eventually I'll tell you exactly what's gone on.
So you can't be trusted.
So you're truthful, but not trustworthy.
That's it.
You know, there's the family Labrador.
Yes,
Labrador. Mm. It's just everyone loves that animal, but you're not going to leave a plate of lamb chops within, you know,
keep
up
an
on
eye
the table
on them for a while.
So you have fully acknowledged to your wife that if left to your own devices, it may not end well.
I'm making light of it. I can be trusted, but I think that, you know, Lou was taking the preemptive step of thinking, well, I'm going to remove temptation.
Was it a blanket
from
ban,
your path,
or did she just nominate people on a laminated piece of paper?
There was a couple of
carry this around if you need any doubt who you're allowed to hang around with.
Wear this around your neck like a talisman. There was definitely a couple nominated that she thought would probably lead me astray, but then it became a bit of a blanket ban. It was like, there's no point arguing this any further. And I think that basically most married women are in that camp. They won't let their husbands have female friends.
Is that right? I wouldn't know, because I don't have many or any female friends, because that's not the world I grew up in. So you grew up in the late night world of comedy and acting and stuff. I grew up on a building site. I don't have any long old female friends.
No.
So I'm not a threat.
Let me ask you this, Robin. Has Sean got female friends that he can spend time with alone and go, say, to the cinema with?
Absolutely.
Or go out to dinner with?
Absolutely. I have absolutely no problem with that, because I 100% trust him that he wouldn't do anything. I think that's so about you. And it not is, about a blanket rule. Just
I
saying.
Think Kath had I think a you're being unfair. If I had some.
Well, I don't know. Well, let's find out. Are married men allowed to have female friends?
Ah.
I'm not allowed to have them. I don't think anyone else should be able to.
I just think that's a moon issue. I absolutely believe
you're a late
that
night,
you can have.
He's a late night guy. That's one of the problems, Moon.
So, and things happen late at night in most people's minds. But, of course, I am pure as the driven snow. I'm not likely to cross the line.
No.
Okay, you pash a random in the Dunnies at Cherry Bar and get in trouble. But apart from that,
you don't need to tell anyone that.
Joe of Everton Park, what do you reckon? Married men, can they have female friends?
Absolutely. It's all about trust. I had a boss years ago who absolutely cracked, because I'd have lunch every day with one of the married men at work. But what he didn't realise was that I was friends with his wife too. You know, I think it's about what status your relationship is and the level of trust and jealousy. Because why should friendship just be based on what gender the other person is?
Yeah, good call. Joe, you got a shocking line. We've got to go, but we've got your point.
I know, but why would the boss have an issue? That's just weird.
Well, maybe the boss was kind of like trying to protect the guy from potential transgression.
See, I'm getting from this that you men don't trust yourselves. I mean, from you, Moon, and also potentially that.
I feel like there's being some aspersions cast very gently from you.
Okay, yeah. let's see.
Ray, you're down at Southport. What do you reckon?
Look, there's no problems at all. I can have as many female friends as I like. My wife's quite happy with that. But it generally would come at a cost.
What do you
and
mean?
What is the cost?
Most of my hearing and 50% of everything we own.
Right, okay.
There's no way in the world that my wife's going to enjoy me having girls as friends.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, you're right, Ray. No woman anywhere is going to go, oh, you want to go out with Sally on Saturday night? Not a problem.
Right, Ray, what if they were very poor, not very good looking? Would that change anything?
I don't want to be rude, but I mean, that's very good. That's a good question. I have no idea, but it's more the fact that my wife would be wondering why I need female friends.
Yeah, why would you?
Yeah, because, you know, can you go to the football with a female friend, Robin?
Yes, of course you can.
Night of the week is female friend night for any husband?
Yeah.
Going out with Jane tonight, but don't worry, she's fugly.
There are so many things with that last 5 minutes of radio that I do not even know where to start.
We'll
Donna,
have a go.
Well, I just, why is it about your gender? Can't you just have a friendship with another human being and that you can be trusted not to end up in bed with them? Like, the premise of that just does my head in. Like, how old are you people? Seriously.
We're anyone, that's normally the problem. Anyone between about 15 is when it starts and death is when it ends, Robin. Donna from Jim Boomer, keep educating Robin about men.
Well, I'm sorry, I have to agree. Men can have women friends.
If they
can't, why are you married to them? If you can't trust them, why are you married
to them?
Where
do they find these friends in your life, Donna? Where do they get them?
Well, they can be friends before you get together, or they could be people that you meet from work or whatever. But I don't see a problem with it.
Oh, come on, Donna.
Why can't women have male friends?
Okay, let me role play with you, Donna. Well, I'm your husband, and I come home and go, Donna, I just met this amazing woman at work. We're catching up on Wednesday night, and we're going to the footy on Saturday. It's my best mate now.
Hey, When I had my daughter, my husband used to go out on the water and do rescue boat for a sailing club. And the person that went with him was a female. I used to call him his Saturday wife.
Are you still together? Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it comes down to the individual. My question to you would be, in that instance, Moon, that you've just proposed, I would absolutely go on the front foot and go, is there anything I have to be worried about? Are you actually attracted to her? And if you answered no, she's just a mate, I really just like hanging out with her, then I would take you on face value and trust you to be the person that I think you are. And therefore, not have any question. Look at the look on your face. You're just about to explode.
No, I'm not. I'm just like, yeah, look, I'm not attracted to her, but she's so beautiful and she has got a rockin' bod.
And she knows her footy.
She knows her footy. And that's what I love about
her. We'll wrap it up with Alan from Ormiston. Mate, you're another late night person.
I am, yes.
Yeah, what do you do?
Mate, try being a singer in a rock band. Mm. That's the worst bit ever.
Yeah, but are they friends, these females, or are they just...
Oh, it depends on how you look at it sometimes, but most of them would be just friends and, like, gropies, as I call them now, not groupies, but...
Gropies.
Gropies, mate.
Yeah, so but, you're married, obviously.
Oh, I was, yeah, and half of the reason we broke up was because of the band.
Yeah.
Rock and roll.
Because of the what?
Rock band.
Because of the band. The band took Alan's marriage down.
Didn't have the discipline.
Rock and roll, Alan, rock and roll.
Are we assuming then that he just fell on other people? Is that what you're saying?
Well, similar to Barnaby, fell on his joystick.
As I call it. 65% of people calling through say it's okay to have female friends if you're a married man.
They're living in a world of illusion, my friend.
To keep you smarter than anyone else that you know, we have our tech guru, Trevor Long from EFTM.com. Trev, where are you in the world right now?
Barcelona.
Oh, what are you doing there?
Well, every year at this time, there's a Formula One. Or no, I come here for that, but there's also a big mobile phone show. It's called Mobile World Congress. It's where all the big mobile phone companies announce the new phones, as well as 4G and 5G and all these kind of technologies. So it's a haven for nerds like me.
What kind of mobile phone are you packing, Trevor Long? What are the experts using?
Still packing the iPhone 10, I'll be honest. Simple, love it, high-powered, and it allows me to communicate with my little kiddies who have iPods.
Aha, that's one of the keys for you. But Samsung, why are some people use Samsung? What's because they despise iPhones.
Yeah, one of the reasons is they hate Apple. The other is because Samsung has so much money they spend on marketing. If you look around, and especially here in Barcelona, let alone every day when I'm looking at different phones, there are plenty of phones as good as, if not very similar to Samsung, running the same operating system. But we all know Samsung because they spend so much money on marketing. I was at an event tonight here in Barcelona about 2 hours ago, and this, they must have spent millions on this thing. It was extravagant. It was crazy. It was big. Just to announce two new phones. Just to announce the Samsung Galaxy S9. They've got to put on a show. They've got to look like they're the biggest. They've got to say they're the best. And that's what they do every single year.
What's the percentage of Android usage to iPhone usage?
Android is about 60, maybe 65% easily. But you got to remember that there's at least 20, 30 different manufacturers in Android, and there's 50 handsets. So you've pretty much got Apple with three or four phones up against the rest of the world. They're smashing it. But Apple's iPhone and Samsung's main phone, this year, the Galaxy S9, go head-to-head. I mean, it's not like one of them is so much better than the other in terms of sales. So this year, you're going to get super slow-mo videos. It's going to be everywhere because Samsung phones this year are going to have super slow-mo videos.
Trev, what's the purpose of that? I know it looks good at the Winter Olympics when you have a review or footy, et cetera.
Slap someone across the face and see their cheek wobble. It's going to be good stuff. Whether it's your dog jumping at the beach or kids jumping in the pool, it does look amazing, the super slow-mo, if you get it right.
Is there a smoky out there that all the nerds and the tech gurus are using that we've never heard of? Is there a brand that's like, this is the bee's knees?
Yeah, look, I would say Huawei is probably that one. Huawei. You would have seen that they advertise on the, I think, the Canberra Raiders, spelt H.
Oh, yeah, right. I always wonder what they did.
Huawei. Yeah. So they make the mobile phone networks, but they also make a bucket load of phones. And they make really, really good quality phones, great cameras. And they're one of the biggest sellers in China.
There's a lot of talk around Nokia, Trev.
See, last year at this
time, coming back, aren't they?
Remember the hype around the 3310, the little tiny retro handset?
Yeah.
Tonight they've announced the 8110. Now, to cast your mind back to The Matrix, do you remember The Matrix movie?
Yes.
There was a mobile phone in that which had this kind of slide-out front, and it was just really cool, banana-style phone. They're bringing that back. It's called the 8110 4G. Be available in a couple of months in yellow and black. I reckon it's going to be a big seller because people love the idea of a retro phone. And the trend is having a weekend phone. Having a phone that you only use on the weekends because it switches you off from the rest of the world.
What is that a thing? A weekend phone?
Yeah, take your SIM card out, whack it in your weekend phone. No emails. None of that. Just a simple phone people can call you on.
Yeah.
But they've thrown Facebook into it. They've thrown Google Maps into it, so it's still a little bit useful.
Otherwise known as a burner in other industries. Trevor Long, our tech guru. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy Barcelona.
Cheers, guys.
Okay, so am I going to put my hand up and admit that I was the sister that was...
A bit shit. Really, Robin? Bailey, you were the shit sister.
Well, you're going to have to because Moon didn't have a sister. My sister's
a shister.
A shister. Let's start calling them shisters. Were you the bad shister?
Well, I was the youngest, and there was only three in our family. There was my mum, my sister, and myself. Okay. And Pips was like super smart, and you know, things just seemed to come easy for her, and it just wasn't for me. And so I used to be really mean, and I kind of feel like it's appropriate to talk about it because it was her birthday on the weekend.
Yeah. Yeah, very appropriate.
Yeah, and she's always going to be older than me, which I constantly remind her of now. Yes. But at the time I used to do things like we would pretend that we were in a rock band and we'd hold our hairbrushes and we'd put stockings on our heads to pretend we had really long hair. And we'd do things like the ABBA moves, you know, like when you'd go alternate sides like Anna and Frieden. Yes.
Like in Mamma Mia.
Yeah. And then I'd try and do things like manoeuvre myself so that she... This is awful.
Oh, go on.
Then she would, like, we'd dance our way into the door frame and then I'd slam the door.
So
I'd send her flying across the room.
That's good.
Or, you know, she'd try and put her hands up on the door frame because she knew it was coming, so I'd slam the door on her fingers. You know?
That's what my sisters used to do.
She fell for the door frame a few times.
I think sisters used the door as a weapon.
Yeah,
that's what my sisters used to do because I don't want you coming in there.
No, absolutely not.
I was looking for more shister who who burnt other sisters' hair and stuff like that.
Pips had really frizzy, like we are complete opposite in looks. So I had long blonde hair as a girl and she had auburn frizzy hair.
Wow.
And she'd try and do things like iron it, actually with an iron.
Oh, like, before they invented GHD.
Yeah. So I used to tease her mercilessly.
Righto.
So who was the better looking of the two sisters?
Oh, we were so different. I don't know. Right, I was the more sporty and she was the smart one.
Okay, so she was the pretty one and you were the smoking hot one.
I had buck teeth and glasses. Yeah, no, she was a pretty one. Yeah, if right. I showed so you photos of me as a child, you would just go, oh, my God. Shocking.
What do you mean? You had buck teeth and glasses.
Oh, ha, ha, ha.
They'll be mums, they'll be doyens of society now, but remember when they were girls, they would have been really...
Oh, yeah.
A bit shit.
Okay, so, come on.
Yeah, we've established Robin Bailey is...
A bit shit.
Yeah.
And was.
I remember my older sister, Sharon, she let out my other sister, Shelley, year difference, let out her budgerigar because they're having a fight, never seen again.
Oh, dear.
I just remembered that. That was a terrible day.
Where were you in that?
I was third along.
Oh, okay.
That was so a few years younger. They didn't even pay any attention to me. They were in a different... They were in their own bubble of sisters. They're still shit, though. They're getting better.
To you or each other?
No, they're getting better as the years go on.
To each other?
They've always been good. There was just the budgie incident. And other than that, they're pretty tight.
Big shout out to Shelley and Sharon if you're listening, girls.
Yeah. Mark of Bulimba, when was your sister?
A bit shit.
Pretty much from the day that Dr. smacked her on the bum.
Yeah.
But the worst one was I was living in America and I was going out with a girl and I was meant to get married to her and we broke up and she started stalking me so I disappeared and she didn't have my number and my address and I was talking to my sister. We got into an argument. She hung up on me and 5 minutes later my ex-girlfriend called me and I went, oh, my God, how'd you get my number? She's like, oh, Alison just called me and gave it to me. It was wonderful. And also gave her my address. She used to park out the front of my house.
Alison.
You don't go giving the whereabouts.
Did she ever apologise for that, Mark?
Oh, no. You can know. She doesn't apologise for anything.
Plough on.
That's a great skill, never apologising. Some people have got it in spades, haven't they? Michael from Alex Hills. G'day. When was your sister a bit
shit?
Well, my sister was when back in before primary school. Yeah, she the night before she tied my feet and hands together and she told me to jump and I smacked my face in the tile and got knocked out.
What?
Okay, but hang on. The problem with that story, Michael, is that you actually did it.
Yeah,
I know.
The phone isn't when were you an idiot?
Yeah, that's true.
How old was she?
She's 3 years older than me.
Oh, no.
Great.
You're only a little one. How old were you, Michael?
So I was probably about 8 or 7 then. Yeah.
Okay. That is
a bit shit.
So you were just an experiment to her. Just anything you want to do.
Yeah.
That's kind of cute, but kind of not. Thank you, Michael. Hayley of Yarra Bilba, you were the shitty sister.
Oh, Rob.
Yes,
Rob.
I was.
Just say shit on air. Goodness gracious.
Can't say shit on air, mate.
Yeah, come on, mate.
Hayley. It's a blanket card. That is a blanket card. No one say it anymore.
Oh, all right, thank you. Hayley, okay, Hayley, keep talking.
Hi. I was the crappy one.
Good one.
Well done, Hayley.
What happened, Hayley?
When my brother was about 5 years old, I was about 8, we found this old pram and he didn't fit very well, but we squished him in there and we used to take him around to different houses, knock on the door and bolt. So he'd just sit there crying because he couldn't get out.
So what would people do?
They wouldn't know. They'd just stand there like, what's going on? So we ended up coming back to get him out. But
That's pretty funny.
Imagine that if you found it. But oh no, we got another one. Oh yuck! Look at him.
That's very ingenious of you, Hayley. Well done.
Well done, Hayley. You are
a bit shit.
Brisbane's Triple M. Big breakfast.
Hey, there's an amazing story about M1 on Saturday night about 9:30 coming up from the coast. Apparently there was an incident and it's left a man in hospital with a terrible brain injury, in a coma, broken legs, and I saw it on Channel 7 News.
Broken legs?
Mate, something terrible has happened in terms of a road rage. They've pulled over and a lot of blokes hopped out of a van and there's been a bashing. Anyway, it was on 7 last night. Mackenzie Rawn from 7 News is with us. Mackenzie, what can you add? What do you know about this incident? Was there a near crash and then they caught up with each other?
Good morning. Well, police are saying there was some kind of near miss on the M1 at Coomera, and from there, there's allegedly been some kind of cat and mouse chase up the M1 until they both pulled over at Skimpama, or Yatala, sorry, and that's where everyone's got out of that van and allegedly attacked Brock Prime and left him with these horrific injuries that he's now got.
So is there any footage of you know, because there's cameras right along the M1, can you actually see what happened before the beating went down?
Well, police were saying yesterday they have, you know, they are going through traffic cameras at the moment, but it was 9:30 at night, it was a rainy day, so that's probably going to prove pretty difficult. They're also appealing for anyone that was along that road that may have had dash camera footage to come forward, but it doesn't seem like anyone has come forward with vision just yet. Apparently there was a load of traffic on the M1 at that point, and that backed up when this incident occurred, so they're hoping that, you know, someone that was there at that time may have seen anything that could help them with this.
Charges have been laid against two of the occupants of that van, presumably, 13 people in that van. Why have police only charged two thus far?
Well, police are saying they're not quite sure yet exactly how many people were in that van. So they were speaking to a number of people, I understand, yesterday. They've charged a 26-year-old and 27-year-old overnight, both from the Gold Coast. Mm-hmm. And they've been charged with grievous bodily harm. So they'll be in court today, and I guess police will continue investigating to see whether anyone else is going to be charged.
13 people. Were there allegations that all 13 hopped out and laid into this bloke?
Witnesses are saying there was a number of people. It's not clear how many, and it's not clear how many were actually involved in that assault either.
Oh,
so, I mean, he had a passenger in his car, but my understanding is the passenger, you know, obviously has tried to run away. So what he's been able to tell the police so far
thanks
is
for your help.
Unclear.
All right.
And what about Brock? Like, what's the prognosis for him?
Yeah, so Brock is still in a coma at the Gold Coast University Hospital. His condition has slightly improved overnight from critical to serious, but he does have a skull fracture and brain damage, his family is saying, and he's due to undergo surgery today as well.
He's a concreter. Now, I know a lot of concreters are some of the toughest humans around, so obviously he thought he could take care with whatever was coming at him. And then just too much. It must have been an onslaught. Anyway, Mackenzie, I know a lot of it's alleged, but thanks for filling us in. And if anyone's got any footage, because that might be the key here, get hold of the police.
All right, we'll see more tonight on 7 News. Mackenzie Rawn, thank you for your time. Baby Animals are back for the first time in 5 years with new music. Of course, you'd know this work. And on Friday, we caught up with Australia's ultimate rock chick, Susie DeMarchi.
It's very cool to welcome you into the studio. Now, there's been much conjecture, Susie, as to how to pronounce your last name.
We're still...
Come on, because we've all been given it a fair crack. Susie DeMarchi, DeMarchi.
I'm gonna settle this argument once and for all. DeMarchi.
DeMarchi.
Susie DeMarchi.
Okay. Yeah, but everyone says DeMarchi. I'm not going to correct people. Oh, I got dragged out of bed this morning to come in and see you guys.
Where is home for Susie DeMarchi?
Susie lives in Sydney.
Mm. Let's talk about Susie in the third
Susie
person.
Susie Quattro. Let's talk about Susie Quattro. We just finished a run with her. But yes, we're doing shows here. We were just here last weekend.
Because the baby animals, you didn't really go away.
We did go. I went away.
What did you do?
To get away from those guys.
What did you do?
I did a lot of naughty things and had some children.
How many?
Two kids. Yeah, and I did actually consciously take a break. I didn't want to tour while I was a young mum. So, and of course, I really regret that decision now.
Why by because it's so much harder to come back.
It's so much more. It's so much easier being on tour than being a parent.
One of the weirdest things I think I have ever seen was you on stage at Sierra May Winery for A Day on the Green a couple of years ago, and you came out, and these women, and they were mostly women, ran from the back of the, you know, the natural auditorium down to the front of the stage, and they were like birds, and you were drinking, because it's a winery, you were drinking wine, and they were desperate to have you dribble your wine into their mouths.
That's called feeding the birds.
Is that something you do all the time?
It was actually a thing. We did a whole tour called Feed the Birds Tour. I did that every show. Well, it all started in Sydney, and this show in Sydney, and there was a girl up the front. I had a swig of red wine at some point in the show, and she was looking at me, and she just had a mouth open and looked like a bird, and I was like, okay. So I'd spit the wine in her mouth. It's really gross, but it's actually really great fun.
They were loving it.
And it looked great, especially it was like, you know, if they had a white T-shirt on and it just dribble the red wine. So it was very rock.
I was doing a little bit of reading before you came in, and just on sales, and I love to crunch the numbers, September 91, the self-titled album was released, and the same month Nirvana's Nevermind came out. And your Baby Animals album sold 600,000 copies in Australia, keeping Nevermind, which only sold 350,000, out of the top spot on the Australian charts. That's pretty cool.
I know, that's a nice stat, that one, isn't it? You know, you've got to claim something here and there.
Ever meet Kurt?
I did, yes. I went and saw them play at Glastonbury. He was so messed up, you know, he's so distant and messed up. I spent a bit more time with Dave Grohl, but you know, and they were massive then. They were so massive, and there was just people everywhere, and it was the end of them too. It was too quick, too stratospheric. Too much.
Well, that was 1991. It's 2018 now. You're still releasing some new music. We've got a new song we're going to crack on. It's called Tonight. That was the story behind this one.
Actually, this one was sort of, I'd lost my dad recently, and I think it was about, I imagined my dad as a young man after he passed, and every time I thought about him, it was, you know, when he was fit and there was no pain and there was no, and it's all about running into, you know, your youth and not being held back at all anymore by whatever it is that your body's taking you through, you know.
Well, it's the first track from the forthcoming EP. Have we got a date for that yet? Release date yet?
I don't think we have a release date. We're still finishing it, but tonight we did in a couple of days. It was very quick, and the songs just are really coming at a lot at the moment. So we'll go back into the studio in, we've got some dates booked in March, so we'll be in and we'll chuck some more music when we have it, you know.
Very much looking forward to it. Triple M will be spinning it. Susie DeMarchi.
Thank you.
An absolute pleasure having you in.
Thank you.
On Brisbane's Triple M.